Welcome to Golau, where we shed some light on politics, policy and polling in Wales and the world. Welcome back to Golau. And here we are with Professor Roger Scully, who you may or may not have seen at a Teledu recently. Hi, Roger.
Hi.
Thanks very much for joining us today. We've got another poll. After such spectacular results in the last one, what are we seeing in the poll that you've just conducted?
So 2 weeks ago, we had the first Welsh poll of the election campaign, and it showed something quite extraordinary. It gave the Conservative Party a 10 percentage point lead over Labour in Wales. You know, in Wales, a place where Labour have won every general election from 1922 onwards, and where the Tories haven't won a general election since the 1850s. So we have a new poll out today, and what does it show? Well, the Conservatives are still winning. The Labour Party are not, though, rolling over, so just going to roll over and die. I mean, they've actually, after performing, I think to many people, surprisingly strongly and robustly in last week's council elections, the Labour Party are up 5 percentage points in this new poll. But the Conservatives are also up a point, so they maintain a 6-point lead over Labour. And if we use the standard method, uniform national swing, of projecting these results from the poll onto seat results, our new poll still has the Conservatives on course to capture 9 parliamentary seats from Labour. That would give the Conservatives half the seats in Wales and Labour only 16 of the 40 seats in Wales. What's happening at the moment, it seems, is that the smaller parties are being squeezed by the two larger parties. Plaid, the Lib Dems and UKIP are all down. And UKIP in particular seems to be rapidly re-entering minor party status, and a very high proportion of their former vote is now being taken by the Conservatives.
That echoes very much what Conservative Wales Chairman Jonathan Evans said over the weekend, that the Conservatives will look to benefit from it being a two-horse race. Mm. Although what's interesting, I was looking at the UK figures for the same poll, I think, which showed the Labour Party being on 28% in terms of Westminster voting intention, which contrasts slightly with the figures that we have. Are we still seeing some differentiation in Wales compared to the rest of the UK? And I'm thinking particularly about the way that the Labour Party might be approaching this campaign.
Well, I mean, Labour are doing a bit better in Wales than they're doing across England and indeed Scotland. Now, partly that reflects, you know, Labour have long been stronger in Wales. But also, I think, yeah, as we saw with Labour's relatively good performance in the council elections, we also saw with the devolved election last year, there's been a big emphasis to play up the whole sort of brand of Welsh Labour. And the council elections last week were very much fought as a Welsh Labour campaign. And, you know, to some extent, that seemed to succeed. Now, I do question whether that will be wholly sustainable in the context of a general election. The emphasis of much of the UK-wide media is going to be on the battle, May versus Corbyn. And although Labour in Wales may try to insulate itself from that, I doubt whether the media will wholly allow them to do so.
As you mentioned there, one of the really striking things about this is that when you published the results of the poll 2 weeks ago, many people had the reaction that this may be an outlier. This level of Conservative support in Wales might be a one-off, or it might be a polling exception. There might be exceptional circumstances involved. But what you seem to be saying is actually the Conservative Party are consolidating that level of support. Yes, the Labour Party are gaining somewhat, but there is no change, or there is a trend here to considerable increase for the Conservative Party support in Wales.
Yeah, you could understand why some people were shocked at the last poll. This is the first time we've seen the Conservatives in a substantial lead in Wales ever, basically, in an opinion poll. You can understand why some people found that surprising and therefore maybe questioned whether this was this sort of rogue poll that you very occasionally can get through sampling error and other things that can make a poll go wrong. But what we do see in this recent poll is the Conservatives firmly consolidating their position on around 40% of the vote amongst the Welsh public, you know, a level that the Conservatives have not attained for a very, very long time in Wales. And they're doing this, it seems, by focusing this election on Brexit and focusing the election on leadership. And in doing so, in particular, capturing a very large proportion of the former UKIP support. UKIP did well in Wales in 2014 in the European elections, in the last general election, in the last Assembly election. They're now falling away, and the majority of their former support is going to the Tories.
You mentioned some of the smaller parties earlier, and we haven't really touched on the Lib Dems at all. Yes. But I noticed their support, the level of their support appears to be a core level of support now, hovering around 7%. Mm. Is that the level at which we should expect the Lib Dems to poll at the coming election?
Well, the last general election, they polled slightly below that. There's no real sign at the moment of any sort of, you know, hashtag Lib Dem fight back in Wales. There's been plenty of talk about this online, but we haven't seen it in the opinion polls really at all in the last couple of years. We haven't seen it consistently in local council by-elections, and we didn't see it in last week's local elections. I think, you know, the Liberal Democrats' ambitions for this general election are to hold Ceredigion and maybe to put some sort of serious challenge in place in Cardiff Central. I think their other two former seats in Wales, in Powys, in Brecon and Radnor and Montgomery, against this sort of strength of Conservative tide in Wales, I think, you know, it's completely hopeless for those seats to be won back by the Liberal Democrats. At best, I think we could see them winning two seats in Wales in the general election.
When you initially look at the results from this poll, they may seem like there isn't a single headline figure that is as striking as the one from 2 weeks ago. However, I disagree. Moving away from Westminster voting intention, it appears that there is one person in the world that can make Paul Nuttall look like a particularly popular leader, and that is Neil Hamilton. Can you tell us a little bit about the levels of support for the different leaders?
Yes, we've asked in this poll, as we've asked in lots of recent Welsh polls, for people to just rate the major UK and Welsh party leaders on a 0 to 10 scale, where 0 means you strongly dislike someone, 10 means you strongly like them. It's very unusual for any politician to average above 5 out of 10, you know, politicians in unpopularity shock. But Neil Hamilton and Paul Nuttall are really getting to extraordinarily low levels of unpopularity. Paul Nuttall is now, amongst those who have a view on him, averaging 2.2 out of 10, which is amazingly low. Neil Hamilton is in our most recent poll averaging 1.9. This is the only politician I've ever seen in any poll anywhere in the world average below 2 out of 10. On this sort of question. It's a really extraordinary degree of unpopularity, and helps explain why I think we're seeing UKIP support vanish like snow off a hot roof.
Do you think that might be connected to the Farage effect? The support for Nigel Farage, which was the, you know, one of the cornerstones of UKIP support for some time, now that he is somewhat disassociated with the party centrally, that is directly connected with the drop in support?
A lot of UKIP's success in recent years was about Nigel Farage. You know, love him or loathe him, and he very much tended to divide opinion. He was extremely effective at pushing UKIP's message forward and in appealing to a certain, you know, relatively small percentage of the electorate, but nonetheless, you know, to that sort of 10-15%, he came over very well. UKIP have not been able to effectively replace him, either at the UK level or with, you know, their assembly group leader at the Welsh level.
I wonder if it's time to bring Robert Kilroy Silk out of retirement.
It can never be time to bring him out of retirement, I think.
Can you tell us a little bit about the other leaders, though? Because last time around, one of the big headlines from the last poll was that Theresa May was perceived as the most popular leader in Wales of any political party. Mm. It seems that Carwyn Jones has slightly nudged ahead of her with a score of 4.7%, with a score of 4.7. But Theresa May continues to be one of the most popular leaders in Wales.
Yes, I mean, we're seeing in this, you know, the way polls can sort of bobble up and down a bit. Theresa May's ratings have slipped a little bit in this most recent poll. Carwyn Jones and Leanne Wood are up slightly. So, I mean, those three are, and have been for some time, the most popular party leaders, most popular politicians in Wales. They're sort of all around the 4.5, 4.7 level, and there's a little bit of a gap between them and any of the others. Jeremy Corbyn lags a long way behind Theresa May, you know, even in Wales, this historic heartland for Labour. But, I mean, one other thing which comes out of these polls is just, you know, the different sort of levels of profile. So we offer people a don't-know option in these questions, and a few people may choose that because they genuinely undecided, but in the aggregate, the percentage who choose don't know is a good measure of just how well-known a leader is. So only 8%, 10% choose don't know about Theresa May or Jeremy Corbyn. When you come, for instance, to Mark Williams, the leader of the Welsh Liberal Democrats, pretty much two-thirds of the whole sample say, you know, they simply don't know. And even for the First Minister, Calwyn Jones and Leanne Wood, you get something around a quarter of people saying, don't know, which is something about the visibility of devolved politics. Of course, Plaid Cymru will be very much hoping that the forthcoming leaders' debates will do, as they did in 2015, quite a lot to boost Leanne Wood's profile and her popularity. The problem for Plaid last time is that the debates made Leanne much better known and more popular. They didn't actually seem to do a great deal in terms of delivering additional votes for her party. And so the task for her in these debates, you know, she'll certainly get more profile through them, but is to sort of parlay that into convincing reasons for people in Wales to actually vote for Plaid Cymru rather than choose for one of the two leading parties in this election across Britain, the Conservatives or Labour.
One of the things that's also quite striking about your poll is that you start to look into some of the policy areas.
Yes.
And while very clearly the process of leaving the European Union is perceived as being by far and away, I think, the most important issue, the level of profile for management of the economy was surprisingly low in people's priority lists.
Yes. I mean, Theresa May and the Conservatives have sought to focus this election around Brexit and leadership. Leadership, I think, you know, is clearly not going to go away. A big part of general election is the choice of Prime Minister, and they want that to be seen, you know, very much front and centre, Theresa May or Jeremy Corbyn as Prime Minister. The other thing they're doing, though, and this seems to be where they're particularly effective at gathering in former UKIP votes, is focusing this election around the issue of Brexit and delivering on Brexit. And the evidence that we have from this poll is that they are succeeding in that. We asked people, you know, what are the most important issues facing the country at this time? And the most popular choice is Britain leaving the EU. Now, typically in general elections, we've seen the economy, the health service, the other major public services being the key priorities for voters, being seen as the key issues. Now we have Brexit somewhere ahead of any other issues, health and the health service being second, immigration and asylum being third, and the economy only being fourth. I mean, in, say, the 2010 election, that would have been unimaginable. But the Conservatives have, I think, very much thus far been successful in getting this election campaign played on their turf, on the territory which they feel most comfortable, and which they know that the Labour Party in particular does not feel comfortable. You know, we still don't really, I think, have a very clear idea of what the Labour Party's position is on Brexit. So the Conservatives are very happy for the election to be held in this sort of issue domain.
One of the very interesting things about that, we've seen Welsh Labour have released their five priorities for the upcoming general election, the platform on which they'll be standing. Of those five, three of them are already devolved. Do you perceive that as being an advantage for the Welsh Labour Party in that they can combine their record in government in Cardiff Bay, which also, according to your poll, is the only government in the UK, being the Welsh government, the UK government or the European government, that has positive overall approval figures in terms of the work that they're doing? Do you think that that's something that they can leverage as part of their general election campaign?
Well, the Labour Party in Wales know they're in a very difficult election fight. I mean, the battle really for Labour in Wales this year is not to make ground, it's to hold on to as much of what they have at present as they can. To do that, they're trying to focus as much as possible, as they did in the council elections last year, as they did in last year's Assembly election, focus the fight on Welsh Labour. You very much have this branded as a Welsh Labour campaign because they know that Jeremy Corbyn does not convince much of the public in Wales or indeed anywhere else. Now, you know, that sometimes leads to a certain degree, you might say, of constitutional illiteracy in election campaigns when, for instance, you put out pledges on issues that are really utterly unrelated to the outcome of this general election. More generally, I think it will mean that Calwyn Jones, for instance, will take a much higher profile in this election campaign than he did in the general election campaign 2 years ago, where, for instance, the Welsh leaders' debates, Labour was represented by Owen Smith, the Shadow Secretary of State, not by the Labour First Minister. Yeah, I think we're not going to see Labour doing something like that this time around at all. But I think Welsh Labour will have an uphill battle there because we know that most people get the majority of their news from news programmes broadcast from and edited in London or from newspapers, again, edited in London. And you know, the coverage there is going to overwhelmingly be on the UK party leaders, you know, the May versus Corbyn battle. So Welsh Labour, I think, are fighting a rearguard action to, you know, to try and insulate themselves against that. I think they're going to find it difficult to do so wholly successfully.
What about the Conservative campaign in Wales? I mean, one of the interesting things you mentioned there about the who is going to be leading the campaign in Wales. Last time in 2015, as you say, it was the Secretary of State, Stephen Crabb, as was leading for the Conservatives, and Owen Smith leading for the Labour Party, as well as Leanne Wood and...
Kirsty Williams.
Was it Kirsty Williams?
For the Lib Dems, yeah.
My, how time flies. Mm. In this election campaign, do you think that there will be a Welsh identity to their campaign at all? Or are they going to double down on the safe and stable leadership of Theresa May?
I think the Conservatives are going to do everything they can to make this election about Theresa May versus Jeremy Corbyn. And you know, we've had this mantra repeated endlessly about strong and stable leadership, even you know, in answer to questions that are nothing about leadership. All the evidence is that this tactic is working for the Conservative Party, so why on earth would they change it? I mean, with regards to the Welsh leaders' debates, presumably the Tories will be represented either by the Secretary of State, Alan Cairns, or their Assembly Group Leader, Andrew Artie Davis. You know, the choice there will be up to them, frankly. I imagine Labour will be represented by the First Minister because he's, frankly, the best card they have left in Wales. But you know, the sort of viewing figures we're likely to get even in Wales for those debates, you know, compared to the major ones from London, the readership levels that we have for Welsh newspapers compared to those edited in London suggest that it's going to be difficult for Welsh Labour to insulate themselves from the UK-wide battle. I think you know, we saw that to some degree in 2015. The Conservatives, I think, are very much going to try and continue to make this a May versus Corbyn battle because they know from all the evidence that that plays very well for them.
We know that local elections are very different beasts from general elections and even to some degree from assembly elections at all. But do you think there's anything or were there any surprises or any results in the local elections that you think may affect the general election, upcoming general election, even if it's just perhaps changing perception? Because one of the things that I noticed is that the Labour Party in particular was saying that the results were better than expected. So it was an optimistic narrative, even in the face of losses for the Labour Party. And actually that might help mobilise some of the ground support for those parties.
The shock poll that came out a couple of weeks ago also asked about voting intention for the local elections. And there, Labour was still ahead of the Conservatives, albeit not by actually as much as they ended up outperforming them in the local elections, which does suggest that the Tories rather underperformed a little bit in the local elections. Now, I think one of the major things you can draw from the local election is simply the fact that in most, not all, but in most of Wales, Labour were very resilient. Yes, they were up against it, they were losing ground in most places, nearly all places, but you know, we didn't have a complete collapse in sort of mid-1990s in local elections. You got to the point where it seemed almost you know anyone could defeat the Conservatives. They were just hemorrhaging seats to a dreadful extent. The Liberal Democrats, during the lifetime of the UK coalition, similarly, would go into local elections and lose 50, 60% of the seats they were defending year after year. You know, we were not seeing that sort of scale of losses for Labour. Their losses were at the lower level of expectations. And notably in Wales' three larger cities, Cardiff, Swansea and Newport, Labour were very resilient. And that's particularly important because there were several seats there which are potentially, certainly if Labour's having a really bad year, are potentially losable for the party. So they were holding on very well there. So I think that was interesting. You know, but perhaps we should bear in mind, I mean, the Labour Party have been the dominant party in Wales for almost 100 years. You don't get to be that dominant for that long without having quite a degree of resilience about you. Something else I think we could draw from the local elections is simply the total failure of the Liberal Democrats to make any sort of comeback. I didn't think that they could possibly, in Wales, do worse than their 2012 local election performance so bad had it been, but they did.
Do we know any of the reasons behind that? I mean, it seems that they have been able to bank on a certain tradition of grassroots level party support for a long time. Is there any indication that that has changed or maybe is just less motivated?
Well, I think, you know, the Liberal Democrats, they did okay in one or two places, picked up a few seats. They've also had significant attrition of their party machine in some place in Swansea, notably, where not that long ago they were leading, you know, in running the council. But, you know, their party machine there seems to have almost completely collapsed, and we saw them, you know, losing further ground there. They lost even further ground in parts of Cardiff. You know, the party, after losing its status as an official assembly party last year, has almost no central staff in Wales, has almost no basically functioning machine in Wales. It's going to be a long and hard road back for them.
We used to compile lists of target seats before elections. I'm wondering if we might flip that on their head. How many safe seats do you think there are going into this election in Wales?
All the ones currently held by the Conservatives, I would think. Even Gower,
with
which has a majority of 27. I mean, all sorts of swings we're seeing in the polls at the moment to the Conservatives. You know, there's going to have to be an almighty mess up by the local Conservative campaign and a fantastic rearguard action by the local Labour Party to even make that seriously competitive. Cardiff North is normally the key swing state. It's, you know, the Ohio of British politics. Whoever wins Cardiff North wins the election. I would be astonished if that's anything other than a comfortable Conservative hold this time. I think the sorts of places we need to be looking at, I'm going to give you a few. Ynys Môn, a genuine three-way marginal now. It's been held over the last 30 years by the Conservatives, Plaid Cymru and the Labour Party. Currently held by Labour's Albert Owen. He faces pressure from both Plaid, with the candidate being the former party leader, Ian Wynne-Jones, who's the only person who's ever won that seat for Westminster for Plaid Cymru, and the Conservatives as well, you know, potentially coming from third place to challenge seriously. I think that's a seat we need to be looking at for. We should be looking at for Bridgend, the first minister seat in the Assembly, not won by the Tories since 83, but I think very winnable for them on the sorts of polling numbers we're seeing. I think we should be looking at also for Cardiff West as an example of, you know, again, a seat hasn't been won by the Conservatives since the great Thatcher landslide of 1983. Needs a big swing for the Tories to get it, but we're starting to see big swings in the polls. And, you know, if those polls are really going to come true, then seats like Cardiff West come into play. Potentially that also might even be a three-way marginal, because Plaid ran Labour very close there in the Assembly last year and polled quite strongly there in the local elections. Other places we should look out for, I think Wrexham, you know, the largest town in northeast Wales, yet no Conservative tradition there at all. But if the polls are right, that's a sort of seat, indeed maybe typical of a whole clutch of them in northeast Wales, that could fall to the Conservatives from Labour if the Tories are doing as well as the polls are suggesting. I suppose a final example of the sort of seat we should look out for, I'd suggest Newport West, you know, currently held, of course, by the veteran Labour MP Paul Flynn. Newport West and indeed Newport East are places where UKIP have polled really strongly in the last few years. That vote seems to be now disappearing, much of it being captured by the Conservatives. It doesn't need an enormous swing for the Conservatives to win Newport West. And so it's a bit like Wrexham. This is a place that, you know, there is very little Conservative tradition there. But if the Tories are doing well, in particular recapturing that pro-Brexit support that used to be in recent times voting for UKIP, then suddenly, you know, Newport and Wrexham and places like this could be having Conservative MPs.
So on the basis of the poll results that you're publishing today, what would be the breakdown of the number of seats for each of the parties in Wales?
Well, the uniform national swing projection of this poll, you know, just taking the changes since the last general election, projecting them across every constituency, gives the Conservatives 20 seats, Labour 16, and Plaid and the Liberal Democrats holding on to what they have, so three seats for the Plaid and one for Liberal Democrats, respectively. Now, some of those projected seat outcomes are very tight. So, you know, I'm certainly not, this is not my prediction now, 4.5 weeks from the election, what will happen. You know, things will change in terms of party support. There'll be gaffes and events in the campaign that may change things. And we will also see divergences from the national swings. We saw in 2015 Conservatives being particularly effective at getting votes in the key seats in Wales. We saw last year in the Assembly election 2016 Labour, despite a significant vote share fall, being particularly good at holding on to enough votes in enough places to only actually lose one constituency seat. So I think a big part of the battle of this election will be the battle on the ground and who can be most effective at getting the votes where they really need them.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for that, Roger. As we all know, there's only one poll that really matters, and that is the Welsh Political Barometer. So in the coming few weeks, what can we expect from yourselves and the Wales Governance Centre in terms of future coverage of how the polling is going and what your thoughts about the upcoming election will be?
Well, we'll have at least another couple of Welsh polls before the election itself. We'll also be everywhere in terms of media coverage on broadcast media. I and my colleagues will be writing stuff for various news outlets, including we're hoping to have stuff in some of the major periodicals and newspapers at the UK level.
And we'll be expecting a pre-election briefing from you sometime later in the month?
The morning of the 17th of May. So that's, Wednesday next week. Myself and my colleague and friend Laura McAllister will be looking at the electoral landscape across Britain, but also focusing particularly on Wales, and starting to think about what sort of election is this and what sort of outcome might we be looking to. As I've said before, if these polls are even roughly in the right ballpark, we may be looking at election outcome in Wales that is pretty much as historic as the election outcome we saw in 2015 in Scotland.
Fantastic point to end it. Thank you very much, Roger. If anybody would like to keep in track with what you're saying on a minute-by-minute basis, where can they follow you?
I'm on Twitter, at Roger_Scully.
And also Scully out of Teledi.
I now have my tribute Twitter account, apparently.
Indeed. Absolutely. And the blog is Elections in Wales.
Elections in Wales, yeah.
Thank you very much for your time.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Golai, a Cardiff University podcast. Subscribe in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from to have the next episode download automatically.